Morning, Rob.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rick. How are you?
How's things in Florida? Are you in Florida now, right?
No, I'm actually at Pfeiffer University in Meisenheimer, North Carolina.
Huh?
Where?
Exactly. I was just at, you know, my alma mater is Wake Forest. Can you hear
right.
me okay? Or is that
yes.
thing reverberating
good.
Or anything? Is it clear?
That's good. Yeah.
It's okay. Okay. Because I'm in an office and it's a little bit echoey. But I can take you off the speaker if it's going to be too.
No, it's you're good.
Okay. Anyway, I was at Wake Forest University for I'm on the Demon Deacon Athletic Board. So
right.
I'm one of the whatever you call them, advisors.
You're a big contributor. That's what you are.
That's exactly what, that's all you do. You sit there and listen to the athletic director tell you what a wonderful thing you've done and how much more you could give for what, you know.
Yeah.
But truthfully, it's a great opportunity for making friends and networking and just doing what you and I talk about all the time.
Right.
So, and now I'm at Pfeiffer University and we're going to set up, my brothers went here.
Okay.
And so we're going to set up the same kind of, it's going to be a, you know, Pfeiffer Falcon Advisory Board to the athletic department. So they can have some money to, you know,
sure.
that doesn't go to the university, goes just to the sports.
Yep.
And anyway, it's
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of fun. It's a
yeah.
great time. You know what? You've got clients in my situation. It's, you know, as long as you're active and involved, it's a fabulous time of life.
Yeah, that's it. That's it,
you
man. That's good for you.
Got to be active and involved. Otherwise, it's, you know, all you do is sit around talking about what's wrong with you. and that gets boring for everybody.
Yeah. No, I hear you. No, that's, you know, that's a really good piece because, we were talking last time, and it's amazing. I don't know, we're running into a whole spat of stuff with, our clients, who either parents of clients or clients who are in their 80s and, you know, who are now needing care, and it's like, holy shit, man, this is real life happening because it's, you know?
And you get older, and you realize that you're a human. You know, before you thought you were God, and that nothing
yeah.
could ever happen to you. And,
yeah.
and you go, wait a minute, I'm one of these fallible human beings, so this crap can happen to me. So
yes.
you start to live your life differently, which you really should.
Yeah.
You should really live your life as a couple of things, just from you know being a little bit ahead of you. You know, 20
right.
years or so ahead of you. One of the things to remember is to always stay involved, be active physically, and
yeah.
then be active mentally. You cannot retire and just do nothing. You need responsibility, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, chairman of the Catholic you know, hospital association or something. No, get involved, stay involved with responsibility and accountability, and you will keep your brain moving. Especially in with us, because you're used to making more decisions in one day than the average person makes in 6 months.
Yeah.
Because you're giving advice all the time. The people.
Yeah.
And you're in it, you know, you're always dealing with crisis and problems and this and that. And once you retire, you're sort of not. And so you have to put yourself back in that situation because you'll miss it. You'll miss the importance that you had. And if you don't do something, your brain will not operate at peak performance. It'll start to operate at a lesser, you get more scared, you know, want to get to the airport 2.5 hours early instead of 2 hours, you know, and everything, your area of responsibility gets smaller and smaller until you are scared to go out of the house. And
yeah,
it should be kind of the opposite, you know, as you get older, knowing that life is final, you should be less scared, you know, you should be more adventurous, but having more fun. But anyway, that's my little lecture. What's on your
mind? I love
mind?
It. Well, that's, so one of the things that we're doing now, you know, we're getting into the year and all this other stuff. So one of the things that's sitting in front of me right now, we just completed, is our Save the Date is going to go out this week for our event. It's June the 5th at the Philly Cricket Club. A couple of people that we already just said, hey, you know, just gave them a heads up that it's, they said, no, I'm in. I'm telling you, this is becoming a, you know, people want to come to this.
Right.
And like I said, we got a very nice client from it last year. And I think, you know, there's still going to be more. Now, we have a couple of, you know, there's one guy we're trying to get here. We don't have a direct connect. I've played tennis with him once or twice, so I know him peripherally. Mm-hmm. But another guy who's a new client last year, we played tennis, and he is good friends with him. He is. They give background to Roberto because he's a big fish that we can we'd hopefully like to bring in.
Yeah, I mean he's a guy who was a J&J guy, you know, like a global head. Went over to Mondelez, was a big executive at Mondelez for many years, you know. Then ultimately, his background or heritage, he's Brazilian. He actually became the CEO and chairman of a company called Natura, which just purchased Avon products. They're like the third or fourth largest cosmetic company in the world, I believe now. So he splits his time, I believe, between Brazil and where he lives and up here in the, you know, call it greater Philadelphia area. And one of his good buddies is a client of ours who's a chiropractor. He's the chiropractor for the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. And so the chiropractor's a client, and he's a great guy, and we've done very well for him and his wife, and they love us. And then he's good friends with this guy, Roberto, who's the CEO and chairman of Natura, who's worth a boatload of money. So we're trying to work all angles possible and obviously incorporate tennis since he's a tennis player and trying to get him at our Philly cricket event. And we're using the chiropractor to help us kind of build that relationship and be that bridge.
And he's actually a very good tennis player. Very good tennis player.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Oh, good.
So we are, you know, again, getting enough time. You know, his schedule is kind of busy. But, again, with the urging of this other client, you know, we hope to get him there, which would be pretty awesome because that just seems to set the stage or set the table for these further relationships. And I have another guy that he pretty much wants to come, and just depending on his schedule, he's going to be retiring soon. We might have mentioned him. He's general counsel of SoFi, which is that fintech type company. They started off with student loans. Now they're going into whole kind of stuff. But he was one of the original guys in the company. So he is also a very good tennis player. And he told me last year, he goes, yeah, I got to get there. I want to come to this year. And we actually took him and his wife out for dinner the following weekend with Sam and Clark down at Sea Colony, where we hosted the Sea Colony event last year. That's where I know him from. So we could have some potentially really high-powered people at this event. And, you know, last year we had Sam give a testimonial, and that helped hook this other client who, you know, jumped on board. So it's just been
if every year we can bring, you know, so you look at it like the tennis event, you know, we brought in a $5+ million relationship that's got another, you know, $4 or $5 million outside of here. So that we've already kind of, you know, so their family alone could be an $8 to $10 million relationship in the next year or so. But, you know, that's a good win from last year on the tennis event. We've developed it on a couple other relationships where I think that ultimately they will create opportunities And again, as long as we keep developing that, I think that's just been a great avenue for us to be in business development. So I do see a lot of successes from that.
Yep. And then we follow that up with the tennis event. I mean, where we sponsor the women's professional event at Sea Colony. So we go from Friday at Philly Cricket to Saturday, Sunday at Sea Colony hosting. And Sam and Clark, again, are already on board for the whole weekend. And then dinner that Saturday night. And we took, by inviting just select people. So that's been... fantastic. I mean, it's just been a great one. So we're ready to roll that out again, and I'm excited. And just as on another note, so you know Ted Durkin.
Yeah.
He's our regional. So Ted also had, because it's 8 weeks today from my hip surgery, and I'm doing wonderful, but Ted had a more serious surgery around the same time I did, and he's still not even back to work. He won't come back until, like, March.
Oh, God.
I know, he had some issues with his stomach, and I mean, all kind of craziness, but it was really pretty serious surgery. Anyway, he's recovering, but it's a much slower thing, but we challenged each other. So Ted and I are going to do a race. We're going to do like maybe a 50-yard or 100-yard dash, and I told him, I said, well, we're going to do it, Ted, on the grass courts in Philly Cricket in June, so get ready. So that'll be the another little highlight.
Oh, wow. So, well, give him my best. That sounds really serious.
It was. He had it like he had one surgery last year, and it took him months to recover, and then they had to go back in again at the end of the year. So a lot of major reconstruction of different parts of his stomach, and I don't even know all the details, but I know it was, mine was like a piece of cake. I mean, and his was serious shit.
How old is he? Is he 55 or so?
He's in his
young.
40s, I think.
Yeah, he's like mid to late 40s. He's probably 46, 48, something like that.
Oh,
yeah, he's
right.
Young.
Yeah.
Young guy.
That's too young to have those problems. That's sad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but he's recovering, and he's doing, but it's just a longer recovery time, and he can't, whatever. But I will give him your best.
Yeah, please do. That's terrible.
Yeah.
What about the Longwood Cricket Club in Boston? What's going on there?
Okay, so Clark runs, does that event in September, and he does it every year. Last year I could not attend because I had a wedding that weekend, so I didn't do that last weekend. So we really didn't, we talk about it at our Philly Cricket. We really haven't had the reciprocity yet between the other than Clark and Sam, of anybody else going back and forth.
Well, I think that's a huge opportunity because of their. I mean, they're not when they're there. How many people of the people that are there do they know?
Would it? At Clark's event?
Yeah. How many of those people does Clark know?
All of them.
Right. Okay. Think about it, right?
Yeah.
And he likes what you're doing.
Well, one of the things...
I don't know.
Right. Well, this year, the way we're going to do it, we haven't... But I think I might have told you this... Labor Cup, they call it. I think it's called the Labor Cup. Yeah, it's been this event that all the top pros from around the world play it. Federer, Nadal, I mean Djokovic, they all play. Last year was in, I think it was in Switzerland. This year it's in Boston.
Wow.
And
right.
Sam actually. Yes, because Sam has what is it, Dave? Is it a friend of his or no, an investor?
No, it's an investor. Yeah. Some
investor, and because of it, he loves tennis and he invited Sam, and Sam's going to bring us all up too. So supposedly we're going to make a weekend of being at Longwood on a Friday because Sam is trying to get Clark to make sure his event is piggybacks on this Labor Cup in Boston because it's like a 3-day event.
Sweet.
Where they play. So,
Nice.
say, yeah, that should be pretty cool. So that's in the works for this year.
Okay,
Where
good.
we're gonna get a private box. I mean, from this investor has his own, has a private box and all kind of
Sure.
stuff. And then I think I told you that Clark set up this. He was invited to speak at a conference in San Francisco.
Right.
And right, so we're moving forward with that. So, and I don't know if I told you this, but and this is Clark's brilliance. He was telling Sam about it because the way it was set up, it was going to be how executive recruiters work with financial advisors to help their, clients in, looking at compensation packages and just planning, either exits or new firms, stuff like that. So anyway, he talked to Sam is also going to be on the panel.
That's
So
beautiful.
it'll be Clark, Sam, and I, and just, I mean, talking about, and I guess, I mean, what better testimonial than Sam? I mean, we're going to talk to Sam about, what he was looking for, what we provided him, and I'll just, sort of fill in the blanks there of what we do for our clients. And it's going to be in San Francisco in June, right after our tennis event.
Let me ask you a question. This is kind of a calendar thing. I'm
Yes.
supposed to be speaking let me just see when. I'm supposed to be in Philadelphia speaking to Morgan Stanley.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of, but I was just thinking that I'll
No,
be
that's yeah, when? Yeah.
I think to But I'd like to see you guys,
Yeah,
Philadelphia,
definitely.
Mary Mall. Okay, so it's February 25th.
Oh, okay. That's coming up.
And right. Any chance you guys are around that day or?
Hold on, let's see here, but we can make it work, that's all.
Yeah.
25th is a Tuesday.
Yeah, I should be
Right.
around. We have a 10 o'clock
Adam, we can
mezuzah.
I can move
Oh,
that
okay.
around too.
Perfect.
But where are you? Are
Well,
you going to be in the Philly office?
I'm going to be speaking from 9 o'clock till like 1 o'clock there.
Okay.
But let's see if somehow we can,
Yeah. We
I'd
can grab
love to
lunch
get
afterwards
together.
or something.
Well, I'd like to, maybe we could have, if I can get in early enough, maybe we could have dinner or breakfast, is what I'm
Yeah.
thinking. Because she's going to take me off to some other office after that. I'm with
Oh, okay.
Touchstone. I'm working with Touchstone on this, and so it's just plug and play, Rob. Plug him in and make him play. I wish it was.
Yeah.
I wish it was you guys. Because then we could have you give a testimonial,
What
about
about the, I
that.
mean, what office in Philly?
I'm not. You know me. I don't look until
Yeah,
weeks before I'm
right.
supposed to be
No,
here.
because a good friend of mine is manager of the Morgan Stanley offices in
Was
like
he
the
in
Main Line
Jenkintown?
area. Like
Oh,
Havertown
really?
and Berwyn. He manages, I think, two or three offices in that area, and he's a very good friend of mine. So I would imagine he may be at your thing. I'll introduce you. I'll let him
Okay.
know.
Do you know what it, do you remember, tell me his name.
Joe Morganti. He used to be at
Okay.
UBS. He was at UBS probably before Clay, so it was before we started this stuff.
Okay. And he's in charge of what offices?
Berwyn, like these are on the main line, but like Berwyn, I forget the other ones, but I'll get the details
I
for you.
think this will probably be a composite of different. I mean, this would be a big help to me because credibility, Rick.
Yeah.
Your credibility is terrific. And if you, let me get some more information. I'll get back to you. Maybe you can throw out
Yeah, and
a.
I'll touch base with Joe to find out about, if he's knows about this, maybe he can even,
Right.
bring it to his
Well,
office too.
there's two ways of going in. One, you go in as kind of a stranger, or two, you go in as, you know, somebody saying you're fabulous and this worked, and you guys better pay attention. I mean, it's a completely different presentation then, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
FA is really listening, or the boss brought this guy in to entertain us. You know, which is it going to be?
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
You know, I hate the latter, you know. So.
Well, it is, because, you know, like, even now, I mean, like, Dave's office, our office here, we're, like, it's hard, you know, when they want to bring somebody that's not, you know, who is this guy? Who are you bringing in, you know?
Right.
You don't show up either. Why should I be there?
I don't want to show up, right? I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same way. I hate meetings, right? I like to learn. I hate meetings. So please don't have me come and talk to, especially if somebody's coming to tell you how to run your business, and, you know, da da da. Oh, screw you. You know, I know how to run my business. So it's just all in how it's set up. And, you know, I'm fine. I go in, I get paid, and I'll sign up two or three teams to get to do some coaching that really want it, know they need it. But the difference is, you know, if I go in kind of with somebody giving a testimonial, giving a, you know, a big upsell, then I sign up six teams. And I, you know, everybody's paying attention to me when I'm talking. It's just a completely different business for me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I was just thinking as you were just talking about that, it just hit me. Maybe what I'd like to, prior to our event in San Francisco with Sam and Clark.
Yep.
That if we do a call with them together.
Sure.
One of our calls.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because I can introduce you, you know, what your role is as a coach. And, I mean, these guys would love you.
Well, I'd love them, you know.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, there's no question. There's an immediate connection. And but they are great guys. But they're so much, you know, they're into learning. They're into growing. And, they're good.
Excellent.
But, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
We'll set up one of our calls will be with those guys.
I would love that.
Cool.
So who's running things when Ted's not there then? He's out so long.
Well, they have, you know, an assistant market head and all the other ones. So, you know, everyone's sort of pitching in. And I guess Ted's probably doing some things remote, you know, from.
I was going to say, I think it's a lot different now, Rob, where there's not nearly as much you know, the recruiting and other things that I think some of this, you know, the head market directors were a part of, and even client meetings. I know there are a couple advisors that like to use Ted, among others, for prospective clients or current clients.
Sure.
But I don't think that happens as much. But obviously, the more of the boots on the ground in the regional offices, I think, have taken on a little bit more of the workload in Ted's absence.
Well, that's good. You don't want to be gone too long, because then they figure out they can do without you.
Yeah.
As you know, with these we just went through another management reorg at UBS. It's like every year, it's like, holy shit, they must bring different consultants in every year. And I am so grateful, Rob, that I'm on this side of the table and not on that other side of the table.
I never lived in fear, and I always loved my job, and I always did it as best I could and never worried about any of that stuff. But a lot of guys live in fear all the time. And so from that point of view, it can be a terrible job, because every reorg, you know, you could have a target on your chest, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just not, you know, and it's all, you know, it's who, you know, Democrats come in and fire all the Republicans, you know, and it's not my guy. I want my own guy. So it's really dangerous, you know. It was always a blast for me.
Well, that's,
so
you know,
who's your boss now?
Well, Emily. Emily's our branch manager.
Right, but she's great, right? So she takes care
she's
of you.
Awesome.
Guys.
She's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we ask her for stuff, and she gets on it. She doesn't, you know, I'd say some branch managers let things fall by the wayside, but she's very on top of things. And when you ask her for a contact or help with something or push something along, she's like immediately to do it. So that's a great thing.
And Ted, you know, Ted's the regional now of all of Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for him. I mean,
so she reports to Ted.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But I just wanted to make sure there wasn't a change. Because the way you spoke, I felt like, oh God, there's another change.
No. So,
no,
but anyway,
no.
So let me tell you about another one that it seems like we're about to close. And I might have mentioned this before. It could be, you know, close to $8, $9, $10 million relationship.
Yeah.
It was a contact that I've known personally. I've known their family. They got involved in the community things together. But they've had an advisor his whole, you know, and we never, you know, just it was, he had a good relationship with his advisor. And, well, his advisor retired in December.
Yeah.
And so he wants to, you know, but it's a matter of, now here's the issue. He's now suffering a little bit of health issues. So it's not like on top of his mind. So his daughter is the one. So we're working with his daughter now, which is good. And they pretty much said, yeah, we want to get this done. We're waiting on their statements that are coming through for January. And then we're going to, you know, get things going. But, yeah, health issues are starting to come in. You know, they're in their late 80s. It's tough. So I introduced them to somebody at this one nursing home, which they were very appreciative of because they're building a new wing, and I got them a personal stuff there. So, you know, it's amazing. You know, like you were using your enthusiastically endorsed and trying to help them with the issues that they're having. And they're very appreciative. But I want to just finalize it because, you know, when you're dealing with health issues, you can see that's not on the top of their mind. But at the same time, the rest of the family realizes they got to do something and clean this up before something.
Okay, so you're on the right track here. So think about, you know, we talked about this. Whether you do it as a mastermind group or you do it just as an enthusiastically endorsed group, but you're going to have more and more people in this situation. And for you to be the go-to guys for this, it's like the sale of a business, right? There's these big events in your life. The sale of a business is a huge event. Having a mastermind group that can take care of every aspect of that is critical to you. The same thing is when a person is transitioning, either one spouse or both spouses are needing assisted living and they need to move from their house to an assisted living facility. That is like the sale of a business. Okay, it's that big an event. And you need to not just have a person that you introduce them to, you need to have a comprehensive approach to it because they do this once, you'll do it 25 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what is needed when you go and move from your house to an assisted living? The answer is lots of things, and who does that fall to? The daughter. Who is least equipped? Who's least equipped in the world to handle that? The daughter, who wants to do, who literally loves their parents, but really doesn't want to do any of this, right?
Yeah.
So, think about it. You've got to find. You got to have a consultant to find the right place. Maybe that's you. Maybe you can fill in that. You can find the right place for them, or you can find a really highly qualified person that you trust that could do that for them and work with them on that, okay? So they find the right place, they make the contract. Now what's the big deal? They got to sell their house and get rid of all the crap, right? And do it in an efficient and effective way. So you got a couple of really big things going on here. So you've got to, first of all, you need to clean out the house. And the daughter's not equipped to do that.
Right.
The parents are all, you know, they're all sick and emotional. So you need to have a professional there to do that for them. Then you need to have a person to stage the house, to sell it properly. You need to have a really good empathetic realtor that comes in and guides them through this whole process. The realtor can hire the stager. They probably will not hire the person to clean out the house. That falls to you guys, okay? And then you need kind of a psychologist maybe to give them some counseling during this period because it's horribly traumatic for them. And they're not equipped psychologically to do it. But a few counseling sessions with the right counselor makes it so much easier to go there with a happy, good attitude. Most, you know, unfortunately, most of these situations, they go dragging and kicking rather than, you know, like my mom went, happy, excited, thanks. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. And I had to do all this. That's how I know, okay?
Wow.
And then once they're there, you know, making them be sure they're happy there. So the psychologist could work with them for a few months to make sure. It isn't a long-term thing. It's just a couple of, it's just like that. In these teams that I've seen, when a business is being sold, they also have a therapist or a psychologist on in the part of the team to work with the person selling their business because it's traumatic. The first year of retirement is horrible for most people because they go from being really important, critical person in the community to nothing except somebody with some money. And so it's hard for them to feel valued and important and all the things that they miss. So there's a lot of things going on there that we kind of take for granted, but you, as an empathetic person that cares, could step in with a great team and really provide a service, and then you'd become, well, you'd be known and trusted in your community for handling, for taking care of this stuff. And, of course, then you manage the money.
I mean, this, you know, it's worthwhile getting it because this is like, you know, as Dave is seeing, you know, some of these, and we have another one right on behind that, and there's more psychological issues going on because of, you know, again, death and loss and how to transition to families. And then I hear from the daughters, and they're thanking us for being so helpful to them and all these transitions. But there's issues, man, when you're dealing with these older people. But if it's $10 million, it might be worthwhile.
Right. It is.
But Dave can hear. Sometimes it's just a sympathetic ear, and it's like they're thinking that we've done so much for them.
But, you know, when they ask for advice and you actually have it for them, so much better. You know, not everybody does this, but this is what we can do for you. And let them choose to use this person or this person or this person. You know, we have a realtor that does this. We have a stager that does this. We have a team that comes in and cleans out the house and sells everything for you. You know, we have a team, we have these things, we have a psychologist that's familiar with this whole transition, of life's transition. You know, so these are, you pick and choose, Mrs., you know, daughter, but it's all available to you. And when you, you know, you see a red light or a yellow light from your parents, this is, and you don't, you know, you're going to kill yourself and have to give up your job in order to do this, call on us. You know, there are people that get paid to do this, and it's short money in the long run. You know, somebody with $10 million can afford these people, and they should have them. But they don't know. See, they just don't know because they've never gone through it. And they're used to that. They're used to hiring somebody to take them to the airport, and they fly first class, and, you know, they have their guide to take them all over Europe and, you know, in a Mercedes. But when it comes to this kind of transition, they don't know how to hire the guy with the Mercedes and the tour guide, you know?
Yeah.
Okay? Just a nice little sideline business for you that will create real value, and it has nothing to do with performance.
Right, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So... Okay. One more that we want to run by you before, and we've talked about this particular client before, and we're still butting our heads up.
This is our
friend, Mr. Hogan from Johnson & Johnson.
I knew that was coming up.
So, literally, literally, while we were ready for your call this morning, we were, you know, saying, well, who are we going to talk about? And I said, just thinking Hogan. He's just a pain in the ass. Because we can't, you know, whatever. And then Dave said, wait a second, Margaret just set up an appointment with him. So he did accept the appointment. But he is like, he's worth, you know, asset-wise, he's worth going after. But we have, what do we have, a little over 2 million with him or something like that?
Yeah, we have a little over 2. He's just a really tough nut.
He controls his own thing. Remember what we, you know, when he went through this cancer thing a year and a half ago or whatever?
Yeah, he became a good client when he had cancer. Tell him, we like the guy that had cancer. We don't like this guy.
Well, he recovered. So he's back in control. And so he actually, you know, he's retired from J&J. He still has all his stuff. He has done some, you know, work on the outside and like private equity type on his own where he's like the managing partner. He's going to roll off a few million bucks from those things. But it's like, I think he still likes to be in control and he's very fee conscious. I mean, and so he has a lot of his assets with Fidelity because they were the ones with his stock options and, you know, so we actually, he's on our calendar for 2 weeks, actually on the 26th. But, you know, how do we move him? He doesn't want to move, it seems. But, I mean, you know, he's not a good client. But he's still worth being on our prospect list.
He's a customer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I would do, guys, is to just go back and double check customers versus clients and just make sure. And you do a fill or kill. I mean, that's what you do. You say, we're limiting our practice to so many families. Now think of us as a concierge service for families, like a family office group. We'd like to be that for you, but you know what? That's not for everybody. So this is what we do. This is how we do it. This is what we charge. We love you. We'd like you to be part of it. And he goes, nope. Then you go, you know what? You make a decision then, okay? Make a decision. We're going to keep you as a customer.
Right.
And when you die, you know, when you die, your wife will become a client.
Yeah.
Right? Will she? I mean, what's your relationship with her? Does she want to be a client or not?
Well, every time we've met with her, she goes, oh, we're just going to call Rick and Dave, you know, because, great relationship. She's like the one that would be willing to say, let's just let Rick and Dave do this thing. He's
right.
The one,
no. So some people never change, and if you're patient, how much total money is there?
25 liquid?
Probably more.
Okay, you just say, look, you know, stay healthy. We hope we'll take care of you. We'll do what you need. When you pass, you know, then you'll become a good client.
So we'll be there for Diane.
Right. We'll be there for Diane. Exactly. And you build your relationship with Diane. And you keep your relationship with her. And you treat him like a prospect. And you treat her like a customer.
Okay.
I mean,
that's where we're at. I mean, because it is frustrating.
That's a practical answer to you. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, I could tell you, if you had nothing but, you know, $20 million clients, I'd tell you to fire his ass in 2 seconds, okay?
Yeah, right.
So as you run out of time, he goes, okay?
Yeah.
But until you run out of time, and then you keep him, you take your fee, and you can't treat him like you treat, you know, your regular clients, but you can do well, but make sure you're spending time with her. That's the key.
Yeah.
There's like that, like UBS has that women's symposium, Rick. You know, that's, and I don't know if you've ever done anything with Diane before, but I mean, that's, we're doing a big women's symposium. I believe it's in New York in May, like right before, you know, maybe like the week before Memorial Day, if they were in town. It's a whole thing about, you know, owning your worth, and it's for top female clients and prospects. You know, it at the UBS office, you know, or actually it's at the Park Hyatt. You know, that's an interesting one where you have, know, it's a $25 million, you know, and over, which you do a nomination for. I don't know if that's worth it. I don't know if she'd be interested in going, you know, with you or,
yeah,
or with us. You know, that's just the other, you know, thought.
Interesting. Interesting. But yeah, Diane loves this stuff. I mean, even one year I got her, you know, backstage passes for a, you know, Broadway show because our one client of the
right.
son was the, in the show. You know, she loved that shit, man. She loved it.
What about children?
They have two kids, and they have each has like three grandchildren. So he probably has 5 to 6 grandchildren now. So they're really into their family.
How much money do you have among all the children?
None.
What?
I think no. Dad runs the money for them. I think, you know, he set them up with all kind of like insurances and blah 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 blah.
No,
we don't have the kids. We don't have the kids.
Well, that's wrong.
Yeah, and it's not like, and I don't think the kids aren't anywhere else. I think he did say he has not like a lot of concern, but he has a little bit of concern, I think, around his daughter.
Right.
But his son's very like fiscally responsible and like understands things, and he made it sound like, oh yeah, he does stuff on his own. And again, the kids are probably, you know, in my age range and like they're young to mid 30s. We've thrown it out there on every time we talk to them. If you're, you know, if your son or daughter, if you want us to reach out, there's, you know, that's part of what we do in legacy planning, and you know, just to talk to them and educate them. And he's like, oh, that's thanks for the offer. So. But we've never actually gone anywhere with it, so that's, we keep saying, you know, if your son or daughter have questions, like, again, reach out to us. We don't charge to talk to them and help answer their questions and, you know, planning for their kids' education or buying their first home, all that stuff. And he said, oh, no, we really appreciate that, and then it
yeah.
kind of just like, falls.
All right, so let's say he's worth $25 million, and before when he dies, it'll be worth $50 million. How is he going to take care of the estate planning and – what else? I mean, how's he going to get the money to the kids? Does he want it?
Well, he just went through the whole process last year. Again, remember, I guess he started it when he was sick, and he just went through it. And what did he set up, Dave? He set up a family limited partnership?
Yeah, he has a family limited partnership. He did all the necessary planning for children and grandchildren. He did it with an Arizona attorney, I believe, right, Rick?
Yeah.
And he provided us with everything. So, like, we had a really in-depth, probably over an hour call purely on estate planning. So, you know, it went really well. And I don't think there's any other advisor that he or anyone else outside of us that, like, understand kind of the flow of everything and how we set things up and what his goals are. You know, we had a really good conversation. And I think Rick and I took from that, like, hey, this is great. We're really deepening this. And now that he's shared all this information with us, he sent us all the trust documents that we reviewed. And, you know, we kind of did a whole flowchart diagram of where the money is and where it's going and how it's protected. So, it went well. But then it didn't go anywhere from there. You know,
he's narrowed it down. So he did consolidate some of his outside other accounts. So it's basically us. Most of it's at Fidelity that he, you know, is managing, and then he has some stuff with, I think, A.G. Edwards, like a 401k or something for this new company that he started. He had other stuff spread out. He was scattered.
You have that consolidated ability to consolidate statements, right? So you can...
We have it. He has it online, too. Yeah, he has it online.
And you have that. So you can see how he's doing and comparisons and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
So we'll take a look at that when we meet with him in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think that's – and again, I think we ask every time, you know, what else could we do for you? And
right.
He did mention on our last call, Rick, if you remember, he did say, well, you know, I was thinking – he left – and Rob, this shows you the kind of guy he is. He's been gone from J&J for – what, Rick, at least 5+ years? He still has his 401k at J&J, like, with the company. Like, he never even rolled it over into an IRA on his own or with an advisor. So he still has, like, $3.5 million in a 401k that's not even being really managed or anything like that. And he's doing it, as he said from the start. It was like, oh, well, they charged me pretty much nothing to just keep my 401k there. So I just kept my 401k there, and it's been there ever since. And no one really looks at it or anything, but, you know, it's cheap to do it that way. So he's got – but then he mentioned, like, well, maybe that's something that you guys can take a look at or that you guys can manage. So, like, he kind of threw a carrot out to us, and we said, yeah, we, you know, send us the information. And then, again, then it just kind of like, it's a kick the can with him. Then it's 6 months later, we have a conversation. 6 months later, we have a conversation, and just it just never goes anywhere, it seems.
But then he might have a liquidity event because this outside company that he set up, he's like a managing partner, he's going to start liquidating that, and it might be, you know, $3 to $5 million or something like that. I don't know. So I guess, that, you know, there's hope, but I mean, but you're right. He's a customer.
Right, right. So that's a tough one. I mean, it's not, you know, it is a tough one. I mean, he's not saying no. He's just saying no, not now.
Not now. Yeah, it's always been a.
Yeah.
I think he even said to us, like, he consolidated. He got rid of a couple managers. He had an account at Stifel. He had an account somewhere else. He consolidated, but he kept us. So it was us. It's really us. His own personal accounts that he kind of does and manages at Fidelity, and then he has another guy, I guess, out in Arizona that has some of their, you know, retirement money of theirs. But he pretty much said he consolidated. He got rid of he had a Merrill account, a Janney Montgomery account, a Stifel account. He consolidated, got rid of all that, moved it all into Fidelity, didn't give it to us, didn't give it to Edward Jones guys. So it was just weird how he did stuff, but he definitely consolidated and said, you know, I'm keeping you guys, obviously, and then he's shared with us all the estate planning. So I think we're kind of at the lead of that horse race, or whatever the horse race is, but to your point, he's a customer, not a client, and unfortunately, it seems like for the time being, it would take him to pass away for his wife to then say, what do I do with all this? And then obviously us being then ultimately the advisor in more of a client relationship with the wife, but obviously not something we're hoping for or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right. No, I understand. So anyway, that's...
Well, so we'll let you know on how that goes. That's actually on the 26th. So anyway, but let us know, you know, your schedule for the 25th. We'll work something out. We can meet. That's for sure.
Yeah, and... You know, the things that you might just mention to him, you know, that it's unfortunate that you're not really a client because, you know, we do these family office meetings for our clients with the whole family together, and we put together this flow chart for you and all that. And he goes, yeah, well, I want that. Well, you're not a client. You know, you're a customer.
Yeah. Well, we've done the planning stuff. We've done cash flow analysis, all the stuff he's asked for, we've done. He always says, oh, that's great. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And it's like, but again, it just doesn't go anywhere from there. Like he appreciates the relationship and everything. It just we can't seem to just move that needle to, you know, win more of the assets or just develop that relationship deeper. But we'll keep working on it.
Yep. We'll keep doing it.
I mean, the most valuable estate planning thing I ever did was create a family foundation. To pull the family together. And somebody with $25 million should have their own family foundation. Maybe it's a, you know, community foundations are cheaper and you get a bigger deduction, but you don't have control and you don't have the kids on the board and you can't pay them. So I like a family foundation. It's been very gratifying to me. So I just throw that out there, not necessarily for him, but for people like him. Mm-hmm. It's the most rewarding estate planning part that I've done, and I look forward to it becoming a bigger part of our family life going forward. And as your family becomes more spread out, it becomes more important to have something that you're working on together. You're not in business together, unfortunately, most of the time, but you are in business together through this family foundation. So it's a great way to keep the family talking about something that they all have in common that's important for everybody. So I highly recommend it, and it would be right for him. It would be good for him. It would be good for his relationship with his kids, and it's a great way to educate your children on board membership, on philanthropic giving, and money management. So we have an investment committee. We have a governance committee. So the kids are really learning how to be good board members while they are giving away money and the responsibility of it, and the due diligence and all that. So it's incredibly valuable training tool. So, you know, and just tell them this is what we do for our, you know, more things that we do for our clients, family office meetings. We also do, you know, for foundations, we work on those sort of things and really keep the family together. Because there's going to be a hot button When he was sick, there were things that went through his head. And now that he's well, he thinks he's going to live forever again. But he's really not. You don't want to tell him that all the time, but you want to kind of appeal to the guy that was there before that really needed somebody for best advice. And is it really, you know, if we get 31% versus, you know, net after fees versus 32% because you had Fidelity, does that really matter when we get all these other services? Now, if you give them all the services without any fees, without, you know, then there's really no, it's kind of like having sex without being married. You know, at some point you gotta
yeah.
say, look, you know, you're not paying us and we're treating you like a 12, you know, like our best client. So that's not really fair. Right? Well,
yeah, I got it. Well, that's a good one. We're going to continue to go for that and we'll see what we can get.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think it's a good training exercise you know, for you guys. So it's not just a simple kick him out. You know, I think there's more
right.
to it.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, good talking to you guys. I look forward to
great
it.
Great catch up, Rob. Hopefully we see you in a week or so.
Yeah, the 25th. Let's see if we'll work something out. And I'll tell you, and I'll check with Joe Morganti. He's one of the branch managers
great.
Of the Philly
terrific.
Complex. So
okay, I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Bye, Rob.
All right, guys, take care.
See you,
Rob.
Bye, Rob. Bye, Rob.